Thank you for listening to a River Life Fellowship podcast. We're a church family in North Carolina with a vision for people to experience the grace of Jesus, be filled with the Father's love, and to release the power of the Holy Spirit. Here's this week's message from Mooresville.
So I'm going to talk about wisdom. I talked about it last week, and I'll remind you, just in case you forgot, which I'm sure some people did, but that doesn't really hurt my feelings. You know, I was thinking about my life and even what Amy was saying in that declaration. When I was young, you know, I had a lot of dreams and desires and thinking about my future. And God did come into my life and adjust some of those dreams. I mean, this was not my dream, honestly. This was not the plan. I had another plan, and God kind of came in and gave me a different plan. You know, the key is when he gives you a different plan, go with that. Because that's going to be the best plan, even though you thought your plan might be better. But it's almost, you know, life is like a circle, right? You kind of come to full circle on things. And, you know, when I was younger, I had all these dreams trying to figure out what I was going to do with my life. Now I'm older, and I have all these dreams, and I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do with my life. I really am. I'm like, what does my future look like, Lord? And that's why one of the things that has really driven me back to the book of Proverbs, because it really helped me as a young person so much. I mean, when I started thinking, I kind of forgotten this, really, but as a young person, when I first got saved, I didn't really have a whole, I wasn't around a lot of, I didn't grow up around Christians, the people who really lived the faith. And so when I first got saved, I had a lot of questions about Christianity. And I really wasn't grounded in a local church that much at first, which, you know, kind of gave me more problems because I didn't have people in my first year or so to disciple me. And so I was trying to figure out a lot of things. Like, for instance, this might sound silly to you, but this was a big deal to me. I was trying to figure out, do Christians, when they date, do they kiss? I mean, seriously, that was a big question I had. Man, how do you relate to the opposite sex as a believer? I knew how to relate to them as an unbeliever, okay, but not as a believer. And I felt too dumb to ask people that question, because I thought, well, nobody wants to hear that. That's ridiculous. But that was a genuine question in my heart. That was just one of many. Somehow or another, I don't know how, I started reading the book of Proverbs. And I began to get a lot of advice out of that book for my life. A whole lot of good advice. And I really was like real open to it. Like in the first chapter, it talks about the people you hang around with. And I had been hanging around with a lot of bad people, like it talks about in the first chapter of Proverbs, people who do bad things. And I had a lot of friends that wound up going to prison. I had a lot of friends that died from, you know, overdose of drugs or, you know, alcohol accidents. And so just reading that made me realize that I need to find some new friends. You know, I mean, I think I mentioned last week how the book of Proverbs is an impartation of common sense that you can get from it. And, you know, you'd think as a Christian that would be common sense. You need different friends. But as a young person, you might not necessarily think that way. You know what I'm saying? Because I love my friends. I love my community of unbelieving bad people, you know. And you know, I had a life BB before Becky, you know, but reading the book of Proverbs made me realize I've got to get away from these females, because I read some of the things it said in it, and it like, oh my gosh, I don't want this to happen to me. So it really, what I'm trying to tell you, it really helped me then. It helped me to really clarify some things that I felt like the Lord wanted for my life. And so recently, you know, in my life, I've really realized there's a desperate need for wisdom in my life. You know, that little, if you want to put that little thing, I ran across this. And I'm that little stick guy down there. Wisdom. That's the way I have felt in my life. How can I stop making dumb decisions? You know, we all make dumb decisions, right? We say things we shouldn't have said, or we've done things we shouldn't have done. And like, Lord, please help me. You know, I don't want to, after the fact, be making bad decisions. And I feel like we're in a desperate time in the world where the world needs some people of wisdom to come forth. You know, the Holy Spirit is a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Those two flow together. And I'm into the revelation, but I've realized you can have revelation, but if you don't have wisdom to actually put that revelation to work, you're going to be, it's just not going to work for you. And so what we see now, one of the things that has happened to the prophetic move in the church is I believe there's a lot of good revelation being released. People are getting stuff, but there's no wisdom to it. And so we have a lot of people prophesying things, but there's a lack of wisdom. There's a lack of understanding what are we supposed to do with that? I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't want to hear 24 prophetic words every day about what's happening in the White House or what's happening here or what's happening there, you know, but I don't have any wisdom in my life to be able to, what am I supposed to do about all this? Is this really the Lord? Can I really discern this? Are y'all with me? And so that's kind of what really got me on it. And just like on the personal level is I feel like I really need some godly wisdom in my life. And so let me read these couple of verses out of it's Proverbs 4. And again, I'm reading out of the New Living Translation because I just love how New Living Translation translates Proverbs. It translates it beautifully, really. Get wisdom. Develop good judgment. Don't forget my words or turn away from them. Don't turn your back on wisdom, for she will protect you. There's a protection that can come into your life from making dumb mistakes and doing dumb things, making wrong choices in life. Love her, and she will guard you. Love wisdom, and wisdom will guard you. I mean, right there, this is like, I'm in. Getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. So God places this great value on us being people of wisdom. And this is what he's telling us. The wisest thing you can do is go after wisdom. And whatever else you do, develop good judgment. He says what I was telling about. We need to be able to judge things. You know, that scripture in Thessalonians where it says don't despise the prophetic words. The next thing it talks about is judging it. We need to learn how to judge things properly. And we lack a judgment. So we hear something, we act on something, but we didn't judge the mind of the Lord in it. And so for us to really be able to move forward into the earth today and really bring the gospel, regardless of what's happening in the world, is we're going to need wisdom and judgment. If you prize wisdom, she will make you great. How many wants to be great? We're talking about great in the kingdom. And it could be in the world, but really God's more interested in us being significant in his kingdom than he is anything else. And I think that's what this speaks of. That God will make you a significant person in his kingdom where you can really have a lot of influence on other people for their good. You know? And you can start with yourself and then your family. Embrace her and she will honor you. Oh, that's big. She will place a lovely wreath on your head and she will present you with a beautiful crown. That speaks of a sound mind. That speaks of a beautiful mind. Of mind of right thinking that wisdom will actually give us. And like I said last week, I believe the book of Proverbs can really, there's an impartation power on it that we can actually receive wisdom just by reading it. Now what we know is, I went through it and there's at least 30 things, a lot of them are repeated over and over. There's at least 30 things that wisdom will do for you. I just read some of them. Here's some other ones. Guidance, protection, prosperity. I mean, people who want some prosperity, health, and favor with God and people. These are just a few of the things that this book says wisdom will give you. So we would be absolutely foolish people if we ignored stuff like this and if we didn't really, really pursue it. Now, for sure, we need to make it really clear that, you know, in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 1:24 says that Christ himself is the wisdom of God. Okay? He is the wisdom of God. And so when we receive Christ, we receive wisdom. We're not trying to get wisdom apart from Christ. What I'm telling you is God has given us Christ as his wisdom, and he has given us a book called Proverbs to be able to get a better grasp on this wisdom that Christ brings to us. Like I was just sharing in my testimony, I had Christ, but I didn't know if I could kiss another Christian girl or not. I needed wisdom on that. Okay? He wasn't talking to me about kissing. I was asking him about kissing, be honest with you. Well, I mean, at that age, I was very interested in girls, you know? So I wanted to know, how do you relate to these girls? What are you supposed to do? Can you hold their hand even? You know, because I didn't want to do stuff you weren't supposed to be doing. You know, I'd done enough stuff you weren't supposed to do that I thought, I don't need to be doing that no more in my life. And I wasn't necessarily looking for somebody just to have a kiss with. I was looking for somebody that I might have a future with, you know? Because at that point, I didn't want to, you know, be messed up. Which the Lord gave me that. Thank you, Lord, right? Yeah. How can I stop making dumb decisions? Yeah. So here's a great verse that I don't think I gave it to him. It's Proverbs 13:20. Walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. So I kind of figured out, I felt like the Lord showed me that second part about who I associated with. It's like you got to get some new friends, you know. And honestly, y'all, this is the way I used to feel about Christians before I got saved. I thought, man, stay away from them. Okay, I just stay away from them. I don't want anything to do with them people. Yeah, I can remember in high school just thinking, they're the worst. They're the worst people there are on earth. That's what I thought about them, you know. And then I became one. And I got to hang around them worst people, God. I don't really like those people. Those people are not my type, you know. So I've had very few friends. But one thing I did do, though, I'll tell you this. Once we started getting more grounded in a local church, is I began to look for the wise people and say, those are the people I want to be friends with. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that I found some friends that were wise, they were going after the Lord, and they were able to give me things, even to this day that I still carry in my life, where people spoke into my life. And see, that really made a big difference in my life. And it's even to this day, Becky and I have often said this, it wasn't necessary that we were pastored by pastors. We were pastored by our friends. Because our friends were more, we had friends that were more spiritual, and they were going after the Lord harder than us. And they kept us accountable. They kept speaking into our lives and going after us. Not being mean, just in the normal walk of life, their lives challenged our lives. And so, I mean, that's what Proverbs is saying. You know, if you hang around wise people, you'll start getting their wisdom. It'll start rubbing off, and you'll start carrying what they're carrying. And I'm just thankful that I did that, because if I wouldn't have, I'd have messed up things worse than I already have. You know? And so just a lot of power in these. Well, I wanted to give you this definition of wisdom, and I wrote it down because there's all these theological definitions of wisdom. I don't know if you've ever read any of them. They're pretty sickening to me. It's like, why can't you just make something that everyday people can understand? definition of wisdom for wisdom people like me, okay? Wisdom can be defined as understanding situations clearly and doing what God wants in those situations. That's what it is. Looking into situations and understanding what God's heart is for that situation. It's about applying God's truth to real life circumstances by knowing what God desires from you and acting accordingly. Basically, wisdom is just life skills, is what it is, in a godly way. It's having life skills. Knowing how to date a girl if you're a young person. You know? Knowing what you should do and what you shouldn't do. Knowing how to treat other people. Knowing how to go into any circumstance, a business, a grocery store, and knowing how to present yourself, and knowing how to handle yourself, and be able to read situations, and read those things and see what you feel like God's saying to you. Knowing about things you should get in or not be involved in. Knowing what battles you're called to fight. See, wisdom gives us all of those things. Wisdom can make you the best employee that there is. And it can give you favor with your employer, where you'll be promoted and you'll be used, and God will put you in a position where people will listen to you, and you can begin to share the Holy Spirit with them without them even knowing you're sharing the Holy Spirit with them. Because you'll have wisdom how to slip him in there, you know, and people will think you're something, but you'll realize, I'm nothing. It's the Holy Ghost. Well, okay, y'all, I've done spent a lot of time saying all that. Are y'all good? Okay, let me just read over in the New Testament a minute about in James. These are really common verses. James chapter 3, verse 13 through 16. If you are wise and understand God. Notice that word, if. It's a big word sometimes. And that's what James is saying. If you are, prove it. Prove it by living an honorable life. In other words, what wisdom will do, it will cause you, it will enable you to live what the Bible calls an honorable life. An honorable life, in many ways, is honoring other people, honoring yourself, honoring the Lord, giving respect to where respect is due. Doing good works. Listen, y'all. Christianity is about serving. There's a lot of part. I don't care what anybody says. Jesus took a towel and washed his feet, and he said, you go and do likewise. There's no such thing as a Christianity where there's not some service to other people. That's what's wrong with a lot of Christians, I'll be honest with you. Let me give you my soapbox. A lot of Christians are messed up because they're so focused on themselves that they're not anything coming out of them to serve other people. And once we have a heart to serve, and it doesn't have to be spiritual, it can be simple. It can be go help them clean the house. Please don't ask me to. I'll hire a cleaner. But you hear what I'm saying? You know, James is big in if you need to have some actions with your words. Doing good works with humility that comes from wisdom. And so a lot of the good works that God's called us to do, if we really begin to gain wisdom, we'll want to serve. And there will be a heart of humility in what we're doing. Am I talking to anybody? We could talk about something else, okay? But the world's going to hell, y'all. And we can talk about all these things, but if we're not living this thing and doing what God's called us to do, nothing's going to change. We won't be the salt and light that he's called us to be. Anyways, all right. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, that's tough, right? Selfish ambition, jealousy. Don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying, for jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things, listen to this, are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. Now, that's really talking about this. So what James is telling us, this is the trick here. What James is telling us, he's telling us actually there's two kinds of wisdom. There's the wit, and he goes on to talk about the wisdom from above and the wisdom from below. Okay? And here's the trick, y'all. Here's the trick. Don't be fooled that you are not highly influenced by the wisdom from below. Because what one of the devil's greatest tricks for us is to blend the wisdom of God, blend the wisdom from below into the wisdom of God, where you have this mixture, which just will create lukewarmness in your heart. That's what it is. Any mixture, grace and law, creates lukewarmness. The wisdom from above, the wisdom from below will create lukewarmnesses in our hearts. Revelation 3. Fruits of God wisdom, living an honorable life, doing good works and humility. Fruits of wisdom from below, bitterness, jealousy, selfishness, deception, boasting, instability, and confusion. Does that sound like the world we're living in? It really is, because the world we're living in is steeped in the wisdom from below. And so James gives us three versions or three aspects of the wisdom from below. One is earthly, and that means it comes from the from the earth. That's simply what it really means. It originates in the earth. It's the world systems, the world systems goals, the world systems narrative, the popularity, the prosperity, the methods of the world. That's what earthly wisdom is, okay? And it's really running rampant in the church these days, if you think about it. Hey, y'all know this term, diversity, equity, and injustice, or DEI? Inclusion. Aren't those three beautiful words? Now, take your political hat off for a minute. Those are beautiful words. Diversity, equity, and inclusion. They're the church's words. They're God's words. They've been hijacked by the world. Okay? What the world says is that is not the truth. And that's destructive. Amen. It's destructive. And so you see what's happened with a lot of believers. We have there's a whole world of believers out there have bitten in to the world's narrative, and it's nothing more than the wisdom from below, thinking that's going to change something. Then he says it's unspiritual, and that means it's sense-oriented. It's your five senses. Have y'all ever thought about this before? It's your five senses. It's what Adam and Eve, I wanted to read Genesis 3:6. Gosh, I'm running out of time already, but that's all right. Listen to what it says. It says the woman was convinced. The preceding verses was Satan was talking to her about the tree. And it says she was convinced. And she saw, everybody say saw, that the tree was beautiful. And its fruit looked, everybody say looked, delicious. And she wanted the what? Wisdom it would bring her. She wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit, ate it, and then gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. You see that? The world, we see there's things about the world we think if we agree with it, if we step into it, that it looks good, it looks delicious, it looks like it's going to give us this wisdom we need. Just like she thought that. It's the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Are y'all following that? I wanted to read what 1 John 2:16 said about this. This is really important. This is, I use the Passion Translation or the Passion Bible. It says, for all that the world can offer us, the gratification of our flesh, the allurement of the things of the world, and the obsession with status and importance, none of these things come from the Father but from the world. And see, that's what the church has allowed. We've allowed this into our lives. We've allowed it to really migrate into the church, this kind of wisdom. And it's destroying the church. It's making the church ineffective in the world. Well, it just doesn't stop there, because the third thing he says is demonic. See, it goes from bad to worse, right? Jesus said to his enemies, the Pharisees, you are of your father, the devil. And Paul spoke of this in 1 Timothy 4:1, deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons. Teachings or doctrines that come from demons. And there's a lot of that in the church. There's always been a lot of that, okay? If you go back in history, as soon as Jesus was gone, pretty much when all the apostles were about dead, except John, he was on one hang on. They were already dealing with all this universalism and all this apostate teaching, Gnosticism. These are two things that have come back recently pretty strong in the church. Gnosticism and universalism. And they're evil. They're evil. They're not the gospel. They're not biblical. You know? And I'm sad. I'm real sad about the Gnosticism part, because that's a robbery of the supernatural. That's what that is. It just robs a church of being having a genuine supernatural experience with the Lord. It's just terrible. I did want to say that not all earthly or unspiritual wisdom is demonic. Okay? Not all of it is. But, let me just say this. But, it's a big but. It has the potential of becoming demonic. Or it has the potential of becoming influenced by demonic. Where God's wisdom never will be influenced by it. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? So we have to be careful about earthly, unspiritual wisdom, because it can easily go into the dark side without us realizing it. Are y'all okay?
Yeah.
Yes, all right. All right, I got a couple more minutes here. I wanted to read the next two verses instead of leaving you with all this negative stuff. But it's really not negative. It's God's way of protecting us as people and giving us what those scriptures says, ability to make judgments about things. To be able to judge, hey, this wisdom is not coming from heaven. This wisdom is coming from the earth. This wisdom is coming from the world's narrative. This is wisdom that's coming from what my five senses tell me. Or this wisdom is surely demonic because it goes against the gospel of Christ. It's antichrist. Okay, James 3, 17 and 18 says, but the wisdom from above is first pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It's full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. So that's what that wisdom from heaven, that's what it looks like. That's what James is saying. This is what the wisdom of heaven looks like in the practical, everyday part of our life. And so I just give you a couple of those since I don't have no time. Number one, it says it's pure. And the reason pure is first because God is pure. And if it wasn't pure, none of the other would matter. Right? And the Bible says, blessed are the pure, right? For what? They will see God. But if our hearts are not pure, if we don't have this wisdom working in our life, we're going to see anything but God. We will not have the ability to see God in our world. We will not have the ability to see God in our situation. We won't be able to judge it. Does that make sense? So that's really an important thing. Now, here's the cool thing, what the Bible tells us, okay, about purity. The Bible has already had an answer for us when our hearts get impure, and it's the blood, right? The Bible says in Hebrews 9 that the blood of Jesus will cleanse your heart from an evil conscience. That's what it says. And so when our hearts get weighed down with other stuff, with attitudes or impure thoughts or whatever it may be, it's an easy fix. Our heart's not defiled in that sense, but our conscience is. There's something laying over the top of our hearts that needs, it's like a window that's dirty. It just needs to be cleaned. The window's perfect. The window's amazing. But if it's full of dirt and full of grime and bugs and stuff, it's not clean. And so God has given us the blood, and that's the way you deal with an impure heart, and that's the way you can deal with being able to see God in situations, is keeping a current thing with the blood upon you. I don't know about you, okay, but often I'm going to the Lord and saying, my heart's not good, Lord, and I need something. And so here's why I think it's not good, because of these attitudes or my actions or my words. And I'm asking you to cleanse it. Let the blood do what it's supposed to do and get out. And it's amazing how, I mean, honestly, when I pray that prayer, I feel it instantly. I feel like God is suddenly touching my life in a real way, and my inward self begins to feel different. And I begin to feel back, my relationship with the Lord doesn't feel hindered, and I feel like I can deal with my problems that I'm facing. It's really the truth, y'all. So the blood, it really is the key to purity, okay? It really is. And so that, and which makes the blood also key to being able to walk in the wisdom of God. Does that make sense? Well, y'all, okay, one more. It's peace-loving, okay? You know, that wisdom from below, confusion, instability, self-seeking, bitterness, jealousy, where peace-loving is completely opposite of that. Peace-loving is amazing. Let me read Luke 10, 5 through 6 to you. This is one of my favorite peace verses in the Bible because the Lord spoke it to me one time. You don't know how to win a war? Romans 16:20, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. See, there's like an opposite spirit that God wants us to have. This is when Jesus was talking to his 70 that he sent out. whenever you enter someone's home, first say, "May God's peace be on this house." That's a blessing, right? Listen to this. If those who live there are peaceful, the blessing will stand. If they're not, the blessing will return to you. You see, here's what we had to understand. And this is big time important. This was huge in my life. It made a big difference. In the spirit, in the natural, this is the way God created man and woman. He created men to like women and women to like men. That's the way God made it. There's no argument with that from a biblical perspective. So anything else is messed up. God wants to fix that for people. Okay? But in the spirit realm is exactly opposite. God is attracted to God. Angels are attracted to what God does. The virtues of God attract God. And that's what he was saying there. He was saying, if you're carrying peace and you speak peace to a person, if they're a person of peace, that peace you have is going to be attracted to the peace in them. Deep calls to deep. Deep in you is calling to the deep in them. And it will stay there. But if there's not peace there, it'll come back to you. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 13, when he was talking to the disciples and they were asking him about the parables, and he says, to you it's been given to know the kingdom parables, but to those it hasn't been given, and what they think they have is going to be taken from them. They think they have something, but they don't really have anything. You see, the more God gives you, the more it's going to attract God. It's going to attract more from God. And that's what they were saying there. So if you're a person of peace, it's going to attract peace. If you're a person of wisdom, you're going to attract wisdom. That's the way the kingdom of God works. That's how God designed it to work. Are y'all with me on that? Man, when you get a hold of that, that is a motivator. Because I want more peace. I want more wisdom. I want more revelation. Okay, so I'm choosing wisdom. I'm choosing peace. I'm choosing revelation so I can get more of it. And so when a person of revelation comes around me, their revelation is going to be attracted to my little revelation, and I can pull off their revelation. Does that make sense? I remember when Bob Jones used to come to our church, everybody would have dreams and visions right after it. I'm serious. Everybody started having these experiences. Like, why can't we have that all the time? Well, the revelation of him was just touching on that little revelation on you. You know? And that's the amazing thing about having a true prophet. That really will happen around those kind of people. Anyways, listen to this verse right here. Did that make sense to you? Proverbs 14:30. A peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. Isn't that amazing? A peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. So, I mean, even there, the Lord's wisdom was, if peace is one of the keys for you being healthy in your physical body. Isn't that amazing? I mean, just that can do something. Then he says, jealousy, that's the earthly, unspiritual, possibly demonic wisdom, is like cancer in the bones that can actually destroy your life. Those are powerful verses. Those are very powerful verses. Okay. And then verse 18 says, I don't have any more time. That's what it says. Oh, you don't got any more time. So, peacemakers plant seeds of peace and will reap a harvest of righteousness. Peacemakers. I think God's calling the church to be peacemakers. One of the things I try to get them to pray for this a lot, like my top prayer things are the three things that I feel like are most a threat to us is one, obviously, is spirit of fear. We have to really push against that constantly and resist that. Okay? The other one is divisiveness. We really have to overcome that. And that's where a peacemaker can really come into play if you're carrying that anointing of peacemaking in your heart. Is there's just way too much divisiveness in our country, and it has come into the church. And it's being stoked and stoked and stoked and stoked by the world. Stoked and stoked to divide people. Divide people racially, divide them spiritually, divide them from each other, divide families. You know, and so that's a danger to the church. I really, really believe that. Of course, religion's always a danger, right? Yeah, it really is. But this is what Jesus said, or Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:22. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And so James is saying we can reap a harvest of righteousness. Christ has become our righteousness and we have become righteous in him. Does that make sense? Now here's what righteous, I want to make sure you get this righteous thing, because righteousness is really important. Romans 5:17 that says we reign in life by grace and righteousness. It takes both grace and righteousness to reign in this life. That's Romans 5:17. It's written right there as clear as a bell. But a lot of people think righteousness is all about how you act. It's not true. That's not what righteousness is. It has nothing to do with that. Now, righteousness is going to affect our action. Actually, what righteousness means, it's a legal term, and it means to be in right standing. That's what the legal term of right, it means to be in right. Jesus has put us in right standing with God the Father. That's and what James is saying, this wisdom, these and the peacemakers, what will happen is you will not only have peace, you will not only just be the righteousness of God, you will have a harvest of right standing. In other words, your relationship with God will accelerate. You will have this amazing relationship with God that we all desire, which means you will hear his voice. You will experience his presence. All the things, all the blessings that come with a relationship with God, come with this relationship. James is telling us, listen, the peacemakers, they're going to tap into something. And the peacemakers, it comes from God's wisdom.
Thank you for listening to a River Life Fellowship podcast. To get more information, check out riverlifefellowship.com.